And here we are, Tuesday morning. My Car Guru is on the air, and live and direct from studio, we have Lenny Lawson himself, the Car Guru.
I am face-to-face with the incredible Tim Cable. I don't know what... pretty much that's all that needs to be said.
I think that sums it up pretty good.
That's a superlative.
Humbly, as I say that, modestly. No, we're actually not face-to-face, so don't start calling in saying, oh, you guys aren't distance apart. We're actually distance apart. We're just facing each other.
I think we're only 4 feet, 8 inches apart, though. We're not really.
Well, actually,
so don't spit on the microphone.
We're 6 feet.
Okay, we're 6 feet then.
Yes.
I'll move back a little
tell
bit.
People that. Yeah.
Anyway. Is this, like this pad on this microphone, is this safe for me to rest my face on?
I don't know that
or should I stay back?
I would stay back.
Can you tell that I'm back away from it now?
I can. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't rest your face on it, but you can stay a little ways.
I need your coaching, Tim.
People don't use that mic very much now, so I think you're in good shape. That's normally Carl's mic, and he hadn't been here since 10 months to do the show.
Been a lot of spit on this microphone, I can tell.
Not lately, because hardly anybody's used it lately.
Just me.
You're about the only one that uses that.
Reserved for me.
Yes, sir.
You know, just looking at these numbers from the markets yesterday, the Dow Jones average, or the Dow, is at 30,960. That's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Would you have thought, you know, even what? Well, even after the 2008 recession.
Yeah.
You know, would you have thought we'll ever get back to 30,000? I mean, will it be 30,000 one of these days? And here it is, what, just a dozen years later or so.
And people are thinking 50,000 is impossible now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's not.
No.
We will be there eventually.
Yeah.
Auto stocks were down yesterday. Some of the dealer groups were down. You know, there's a lot of... car dealers are independently owned, like my dealership. It's owned by me. But there are large dealer groups that are owned by one person. Like, for example, the Friendship Group. You know, I think Mitch is the sole owner of that and has multiple dealerships. But there are, a lot of them are public companies, publicly traded companies, like Sonic and Asbury Group, Group One, and AutoNation. So those are some of the names. You know who owns... who the primary shareholder is of Sonic Automotive is, right?
I do not.
Bruton Smith.
Oh, is it?
And the Bruton Smith family, the guy who owns Bristol Motor Speedway.
Does he really need all those auto dealerships?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Probably doesn't need them. No, but he has them, and he put them all together.
Yeah.
You know, they went on a buying spree in the 90s and bought a bunch of stores, and and that consolidation is still going on. There's a dealership group, well, a public company. They really didn't own any dealerships. But they're starting to buy them now because they have a new sales concept called subscription buying, to where you subscribe, you pay a certain fee per month, and you can drive multiple different kinds of cars. Like if you need a truck this weekend, you can go pick up a truck and drive it. If you want to drive a luxury car, then you can do that.
Is that like renting a car but paying for it in advance? Is that what?
Yeah, and you have a monthly payment. You have a subscription. It can be for a year, 2 years, 3 years.
Okay.
And you just pay every month. And I don't know. I think it includes maintenance. I think you have to provide insurance, but I'm not sure. But this group recently bought a dealership in Greenville. Bachmann, Bernard, Chevrolet, Buick. What else do they have? Buick. I started to say Oldsmobile, but no, they don't have that.
No.
GMC. Pontiac's gone as well. And Cadillac. Sorry, they have Cadillac. So this group out of Florida comes up to Greenville, Tennessee and buys a car dealership.
Another investment.
So Gateway is the only locally owned car dealership in Greenville. When I came to Greenville, or when my dad brought me to Greenville in 1971, there were seven new car dealers, and all of them were owned by people who lived there. You know. And, I mean, there was a standalone Buick dealership, if you can imagine that. That's all they sold.
Hard to believe.
Standalone Oldsmobile dealership. And so things change.
You were, what, 15 when you came to Greenville?
14. Turned 15 in November of that school year.
Okay.
And I found a good friend of mine from West Virginia, kid I grew up with, named Otis Ranson. His name was Otis.
Otis Ranson.
Yeah. I called him Kent. His real name was Otis Kenton Ranson. Ranson, yeah. And I called him Kent all the time. But he became Otis the older he got. And his dad worked at the Ford dealership there in St. Albans, West Virginia. And he and I were just fast friends. I attended all his birthday parties. He attended all mine. We went through from the first grade through the ninth grade. We were best buds. And he sent me a text message the other day. He said, I found something that will tickle you to death, and I'm going to send it to you. I said, okay. Couldn't imagine what it was. And it came in the mail, and it was a letter. It was in the original envelope, and in that envelope was an advertisement, my dad's first advertisement in the paper in the Greenville Sun when he became the Chevrolet dealer. And there was a 8-page letter handwritten by me describing my new life in the big city of Greenville, Tennessee.
And so you put the ad in the letter as well and sent it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he kept it. That's the amazing thing.
That's pretty good.
He was digging through a box and just found that letter, and he said, I knew you had to have this letter. So I read that thing. I had even I even drew him a layout of our new house so I could make sure he knew where my bedroom was, you know.
Why didn't you just take out your smartphone and take a picture?
I just didn't think of that back then.
You didn't think of that back then, did you?
Didn't think about it. But, you know, you look at what's going on in the market and the way things have changed, and but there's a lot of things that have stayed the same. You know, we're talking about pain points. Remember, we started yesterday. I've kind of renamed it pet peeves and pain points, okay? And these are things that, that really bother people about the car business and interacting with car dealers and the process of buying cars. It's not like, you know, going to the grocery store, going to Walmart, even going to Lowe's or Best Buy or someplace like that and buying a refrigerator. Buying a car is different. And cars are an important part of our lives, so we're going to be talking about some of those pet peeves and pain points and how to avoid those things. But before I get into that, I want to talk about my biggest sale ever. And we'll do that right after the break.
All right, we'll take a break and be right back. All right, back here on My Car Guru for a Tuesday morning, the biggest sale I ever made.
Yeah, but when I said my brand on that, that plug that I just did, it made me think of that song. Branded, dun 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 dun. What do you do when you're branded? And you don't do. What was that? Was that was it a show called Branded?
It was. Yeah.
Okay. Who was the star of that show? It was a Western, right?
It was a Western. I can see him now, and I can't. I'm blanking on the name.
You can Google it.
I'll look that up.
So anyway, my biggest sale ever. I talk about this Bring a Trailer auction, you know, that I've sold a bunch of cars on. Basically an auction website. My brother had a 1962 Austin Healey 3000. Beautiful car. At one time, it was a number one car. I mean, I'm talking about a Concours show car. But over the years, you know, the condition deteriorates. The paint, you know, starts to fade a little bit. And, you know, some get some cracks. And this, the leather on the seat gets used as people use these cars. And so he was ready to sell the car. He also had another car for sale. It was a 1959 MGA. And so, but we wanted to sell the try the Austin Healey first. So I do what I normally do. I register the car with Bring a Trailer. I get all the pictures taken. I gather all the history. I submit kind of a narrative about the car, so that, you know, because a lot of it, a lot of your success in selling anything is about the story that you have, not an untrue story, but a true story. And so, car had a good history. And so we launched it on the Bring a Trailer auction. So the auction is typically a 7-day auction. So you have this comment time. And, of course, that's the big thing about Bring a Trailer is there's you can learn a lot about cars just reading the comment section on each car that's up for auction. Today, there's probably 350 cars up for auction on Bring a Trailer. Back when I sold this car, you know, typically there was 100 to 150. It was before Bring a Trailer really, really caught on. It had caught on pretty heavy, but not to the extent that it does today. So the auction started, and noticed, you know, there's a lot of different comments from people, but these two guys, one of them code name was 911 Man. That was his code. And I can't remember the other guy's code, but 911 Man happened to be a gentleman living in Toronto, Canada. And I'll tell you how I found that out. But the other guy was a gentleman that lived in Huntsville, Alabama. So the sale gets really close to the end, and there's 2 minutes left, and that's when the bidding, the reserve on the car was $40,000. My brother said, I want at least $40,000 out of the car. Well, it was about, it was at $35,000 with 2 minutes to go, and I said, okay, this one probably isn't going to sell. Then, boom, it started taking off. And on Bring a Trailer auction, it counts down from 2 minutes when it, if anybody puts in a bid before the clock runs out, it resets to 2 minutes, and it can do that an endless number of times. Right. Well, that's what started. It hit $40,000 on the next bid, and then it started going up. Finally, the auction ended at $52,500. Go ahead and ask me if my brother was happy about that.
Was he happy?
Yes, he was. He was, and I was too. It was a great success. So the winner happened to be a guy from Huntsville, Alabama. The loser was a guy with a code name 9/11 man.
Out of Canada.
I didn't know that at the time. So I started, there's a way that you can correspond. So I just sent a message through Bring a Trailer to 9/11 man. And I said, you know, thank you so much for bidding. Would you possibly have any interest in any other British cars? And so we started, that was the beginning of a relationship with a man named Gary Turner. Mm-hmm. He's an accountant for either KPMG or KMPG. I can't remember which. It's one of the big accounting firms, okay?
KMPG, I believe.
Okay. He lives, his official home is in London, England. Mm-hmm. But his temporary home for the next, I don't know what period of time he's going to be up there, is outside of Toronto, Canada. So I followed up with him, and he said, yeah, tell me what else you have. So I told him about the MGA. He says, I love MGAs. Mm-hmm. Send me pictures. Mm-hmm. So I sent him pictures through the internet, a description about the car. I sent him photographs of a lot of the receipts that were used that were the result of the restoration process. And he was blown away by the car. We negotiated a deal, and I sold him the car, shipped it to, or he arranged the shipping to Canada. Mm-hmm. And so I was happy, and he was happy. That led to another sale. I had a 66 VW bus. He had seen the pictures of the VW bus in the background of the picture of the MGA. This is after he got the car, maybe a month, he says, tell me about the bus in the background. Do you still have it? And I said, yes. Long story short, he ends up buying the bus. Not too long after that, we were corresponding. I told him about selling a collection of cars for a gentleman. Biggest single purchase, or biggest sale that I ever had, was three cars to a guy named Gary Turner from Toronto, Canada, when I sold him a 62 Porsche 356, a 64 Porsche 356, a 67 Porsche 912. The total price was $180,000.
For the three?
For that one sale.
Okay.
And those are the ones that I shipped to England, I've talked about on this. Mm-hmm. Fast forward about 2 years, Gary says, you think you could get me another bus? My next door neighbor wants to buy my bus, mm-hmm. and do you think you could find me one? I found him one, 65 VW bus. I can't remember how many windows this one had. You know, the more windows, the more money.
Yep.
But I found this 65 bus. I just called the guy that I bought the original bus from, mm-hmm. a guy named Raymond Hare. He is the head of the Musicians Union for the North America, and he grew up in Lenoir City, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and he has restored over 100 buses. So he calls, or I call him, and I said, do you have any other buses? He sends me pictures. I forward those pictures to Gary Turner, and I sold that bus to Gary Turner. And then the last sale was a 1959 356A, the most expensive single car that I ever sold. The total dollars of cars that I sold to Mr. Gary Turner, a man that I've never met face to face. I've just talked to him on the phone and interacted with him through text messaging and email. Mm-hmm. It was a total of $337,500.
That's all right. That's good. Yeah.
My point, and I told this story to my salespeople yesterday, I said, you never know how valuable a customer will be to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking in terms of dollars. I've got plenty of customers that are extremely valuable to me because and they've bought one car. But it's because of the relationship that we've developed over time, mm-hmm. the stories that they have, their life, you know, and the interaction that I have is more valuable than, you can't put a price on it.
Right.
But also, if you're in the business to sell cars and make a living, then you always follow up. You know, you always ask for somebody's business. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't let it drop. And see, and that's what, I knew I had this other car, and so I presented it to the guy. Now, he could have easily said no, and none of that would have happened. But you think about it, just because I followed up with the losing bidder on a car, I brought $337,500 into my bank account.
Well, it set off a chain reaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now, he's also a good friend now. Mm-hmm. And he helps me. He's helped me sell a bunch of other cars. He's helping me move a few more cars that I've got belonging to my good friend in Newport. But it's a great story about, for salespeople, you know, follow up. When you sell somebody a car, who else in their family may be in the market for a car?
Mm-hmm.
You just never know. I always encourage my salespeople to wear their name tags when they go out to eat. You know, you're in the line of Wendy's and somebody says, oh, you sell cars at Gateway? Yeah. I say, well, my sister's thinking about buying one right now.
Yeah.
And you pursue that. But you have to look at yourself as an economic entity that has value.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you don't value yourself, then you're certainly not going to be able to enhance the value to somebody else, to get them to want to do business with you. Mm-hmm. But that's my biggest sell ever. Now let me get to one other thing before we end this show, and that's pain points. And we've got the one I want to talk about today is the lack of trust. You know, that is that is an issue that folks have, and it's understandable. You know, when you go out, when you see the advertising that's out there right now, so much of it is very deceptive, even online. People think, oh, you're safe when you buy cars online. No, they figured that one out. You are not safe when you buy cars online. Mm-hmm. And you cannot trust the pricing for the most part online. Now there are exceptions. I would say that 80% of the dealers that I see, and that's a random number, pulled out of the air, have pretty straightforward pricing without a lot of disclaimers, without any games or gimmicks. It's really hard to price cars online because you really don't know what the person that is trying to buy the car is going to qualify for. Mm-hmm. I look at our pricing online and it's confusing. I mean, because you know, you put a MSRP and then you put discount and then you put final price and then you put all the other rebates that it may qualify for and then you put a conditional final price. I don't think, you know, it's just conditioned upon. People see that and it's confusing. They don't understand, well, what's the condition? Well, if you have Farm Bureau insurance, you can get it $500 cheaper. You know, if you belong to some kind of a horse association, you might be able to get it $1,000 cheaper. Mm-hmm. But everybody doesn't qualify for those rebates. And you may have another dealer in the 20% that, you know, says that even options are not included. So I understand why there's a lack of trust. You know, the industry, we're all considered used car salesmen, right? We're lumped in there with lawyers. We are not to be trusted, right? Mm-hmm. That's what people think. And it's insulting, you know, to me when somebody walks in and starts questioning everything that I say as if it's probably not true. Yeah. I know how you car dealers are. I don't like to hear that.
Yeah.
That is not music to my ears. But I understand it. And, you know, I may respond by saying, well, I understand how you feel. A lot of people feel the same way. And I'm not going to say that you can trust me. I feel like I need to earn that, so let's get started on this, and then you can figure out whether you trust Lenny Lawson or not.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
You just can't say, "Well, you can trust me," because mm-hmm. that's the comeback. But even when you say that, they still probably don't. Mm-hmm. So if you don't trust somebody, develop a relationship with somebody. Buy your next car from the person you bought the last car from. You know, limit your exposure to a bunch of different dealers. Now, that's a problem if you bought a Chevrolet last time and you want a Lexus this time. Or you bought a Plymouth many years ago and this time you want to buy a Honda. You don't know that person.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend, I've said this for many years, that the person who knows who the salespeople are with the most integrity is the telephone operator. Because she has to put up with their nonsense all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows them. You know, she knows the ones that return phone calls. She knows the ones that are nice to her and seem to work hard instead of just standing around up front shooting the bull.
So you're saying talk to the telephone operator?
Ask the telephone operator, if you were buying a car here, which salesperson would you buy it from?
Wow. That's something most people wouldn't think of.
She'll look over her left shoulder, and she'll look over her right shoulder, and she'll say, buy it from Tom. Tom's the best guy.
But don't tell
anybody I said that.
I was going to say, after carefully checking out her perimeter, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could call the dealer. And if you have a relationship with the dealer, or speak to the general manager, say, listen, I'm coming in to buy a car from you guys, and I don't want to have to put up with a bunch of crap. Who should I talk to? Who's your best guy? Who's mm-hmm. the guy that can help me mm-hmm. and be straightforward with me? Because I really don't want to play the razzle-dazzle game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think most of them will tell you, if you can find them. You know, that's a problem. You go with a lot of dealerships. You ask to speak to the general manager. He's deep in the tunnel, the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't want to talk to customers. The only time he talks to customers is if the sales manager hadn't been able to handle it, service manager hasn't been able to handle it, the customer relations manager hasn't been able to handle it, then he's the final straw, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've already complained to the factory, and now he has to get involved. That's mm-hmm. the way a lot of general managers operate.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a dealership where the dealer's there that every day that he owns the place and you want to speak to him and he willingly walks out of his office, comes out in the showroom to greet you, and he also hands you a business card with his cell phone number on it, then that's a guy you can probably count on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other people out there like me that do it that way. So anyway, lack of trust is something that you're going to have to deal with, but there are ways to get around it where you can develop a certain amount of confidence.
All right, very good.
So there.
We'll take our last break. We'll come back and wrap things up here. And we're back to wrap things up, but more pet peeves and pain points to come here.
Yeah, we've had several of, this is a pain point. People want Broncos, right? Mm-hmm. And Ford hasn't built the first Bronco yet. But we are ordering them now, so if you have a reservation at Gateway, you need to get in and get yours ordered before March the 19th. Or if you have your reservation at one of the other Ford dealers, if you haven't contacted the dealer yet and made an appointment, you need to do that and get in and get your order in before March the 19th, okay? Here I am advertising for other car dealers, but that I'd love to be able to sell you one, but if you don't have a reservation at my store, it's probably going to be a 2022 model before you can get it. Now, the Bronco Sports are coming in. We've delivered several Bronco Sports, but the problem with them is that the longest one has lasted on my lot is 12 hours so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just be on the lookout for those things. They're really nice, and it's a nice alternative. It's a little bit smaller than the Bronco's going to be.
Yeah.
Not quite as rugged. It's not a body-on-frame construction, but it's cool. And it has all kinds of neat features, and it's nothing like anything out there on the market either. So if you get a chance, go check out the Bronco Sport. I'll be glad to order you one.
Sounds good. That'll do it for My Car Guru on this Tuesday morning, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.